All right, I want to pray for China. China is a country that thinks that they can control themselves and all their people and control the world. But they're in a situation where it is uncontrollable. And do you know what? God is in there working. There will be people crying out to God for mercy and compassion. And I just think we can join with them because that country needs God and it needs a saviour. And for the leadership, that their hearts would be turned towards you. So God, we thank you for China. And we just pray, Lord, as they are in this incredibly difficult dilemma where this sickness is just moving around so fast and they're basically shutting their country down. I just pray, Lord, that your spirit will be at work. I pray your children that are in China will be crying out to you and praying that there will be a change of heart in the leadership of this country, that they will start to see that they are not meant to be God, that you are God. There is only one true living God. So we just pray that you'll have mercy on those people who are sick. Will you cut this sickness in the name of Jesus? Cut it off. Stop it. Thwart the speed of it. And I just pray you'll be protect doctors and nurses so that they can help the people who are sick. And we just pray that there will be a quick turnaround in this situation and that we will see you working in the midst of it. Amen. All right. Now, I'm going to talk about connect groups, basically. That's what that's what I'm going to talk about. And for some of you, it will be like a refresher or a reminder. You've probably been in lots of groups or one or two groups, one group, and it'll remind you about them. Maybe some of you are on a journey of discovery. That's a bit cold, please. It's right over my head. I hate heat. I love cold, but I don't want to be sick. So we're on a journey of discovery, and some of you, and some of you might be saying, oh, no, not those. Oh, I've been in those. They were either boring or I didn't like them. I felt uncomfortable. It's not me. I'm not made that way. I struggle to trust, you know, a whole lot of self-talk. And that's all right. I've been there. I've done that. So let's have a look at it. How can connect groups have purpose and power? Because I believe I have been in many, many groups, and I was in one last year, and I one testimony that came out of that group, we had lots of answers to prayer in our group, and there's one girl that we met at our Bedford days, when we meet at Bedford. At any rate, David had her on his mind, and one day he saw her walking along near Mount Cola, near Mount Cola Station. So by the time he parked, she'd already gone down onto the station, so he's chasing her down to the station. Sometimes you can't worry too much about what anybody's thinking, you know? So he just said, is it Tammy, you know? And she says, oh, yeah, I know who you are, you know. Anyway, they got talking, and you wouldn't believe she lived in the unit above our heads when we lived at Mount Cola. She was one floor up, right in the same unit as us, but one floor up. And she was touched and overwhelmed, really, that David had made such a big effort to connect to her. And anyway, he told her about it. She said, well, I get a bit overwhelmed with coming into church yet, but I would like to go to a small, you know, I could cope with a smaller group. So she used to just come down the lift one floor and started to come to our group, and she loved it. It was such a blessing to her. And we saw her out of nowhere get a whole new job and career. It was fantastic, okay? Does she come to church? Not very often. She did come this year once, but she doesn't come much, but that's fine. She's on a journey. You can be in a connect group and not actually always be here necessarily. You mightn't be at that point yet. Another test me, and I'll just, this is incognito. I just heard this one recently where this girl was working in an office and they weren't supposed to talk in this office. You know, I can remember when I worked, when I was young, this, my boss used to tell it, it was like a school, that my boss used to say, "Don't talk to Eve, she costs me 8 cents a minute." Honestly. Yeah, some people are just like that. But so this, obviously this boss was pretty tight, and so they weren't supposed to talk. But at any rate, this person noticed something around this girl's neck, and she's, and it was sort of a bit of a God thing, God message. And the, this other lady who'd asked about it said, "Oh, so all of a sudden, oh, there's a bit of a connection here. Oh, I'm going to a Bible study tonight." And this person who had this thing around her neck said, "Could I come?" Now, that was the beginning of a journey. Of course, this lady says, "Oh, fantastic, of course." So that was the beginning of this girl's journey back to God. She hadn't been in church. She hadn't been following God for years and years. That one little interaction called her into this group where it changed her life. She started to go to church and she's done an amazing journey. There is power and there is purpose in connect groups. So they're just a few. There's nothing like a testimony, is there, to remind us, do you know what? We might have had a bit of an unusual experience, but there is great things that can come out of a connect group. Jesus was involved in every mortal type of small group. Well, he did large groups. He did huge groups out on mountains. He talked to synagogues and temples, big groups in those environments. But he also did a lot in small groups. He did it with his disciples, 12. He did it with his close buddies, Peter, James and John. But he did a lot in homes. The majority of his work and what he did and was involved in was in houses. In those small groups, in those small environments, something happens in that setting, in that when you're, it's a closer, more intimate, you know. It's like a family around a table. You know, if I have my family, if I can have all my family at home, I'm ecstatic, you know, and nothing would put me off and nothing's too much trouble. It's a bit of that heart. To me, our connect groups are the small of the big. You know, this is the big family. A connect group is the little mini family that you can be involved in. So Jesus, Matthew 13:36, Jesus sent the multitude away. He was exhausted and it was ready for a break. But he went into a house with his disciples and they had all the questions in the world. They were leaning in. They wanted to learn. They wanted to understand more. So Jesus, in that small setting, he taught them and he would have answered their questions and there would have been a bit of argy-barging. That's good. Matthew 8:14, Jesus entered into Peter's home and blow me down, when he got in there, grandma was sick. Oh no, there's nothing worse than somebody sick. So he just goes in and he heals her. And she got up, and it says she then served them. So obviously they then sat down and had a meal. So in that small setting, he didn't think, oh no, there's somebody sick, don't worry, I'll come back next week. He just got on with the job. He went in and healed. So healing can take place in a connect group. Mark 2:1, Jesus came to Capernaum and went to Peter's home. Within a very short time, the house was packed to the gunnels. So it was still in a house, you know, a large small group. And he was teaching them the word. And then there was an interruption. Has anybody been in a connect group? I remember, David, when this is years ago, we were married 1 year. We went to Melbourne for a pastoral internship course for 12 months. And so we had to run, this is part of our training, we were running this connect group. And David, you know, he can be a bit tunnel visioned. He was on a mission. He had his agenda and for this night in this connect group. At any rate, an interruption happened. Here's this old man comes trundling in late. You know those late ones that come in? And he starts talking and taking over. Now, this man was, he was elderly at this stage, but he had been an incredible guy, very held in great esteem, blah, blah, blah. And David was totally annoyed with him because he was an interruption. He'd cut across his agenda. And I can't remember, I think the man said, look, do you understand, my wife's sick and I can't cope. I need you to pray for me. I don't, you know, the agenda didn't mean a thing to him. In that small setting, we can have interruptions and we can stop. We can work with what the need is in the moment. Luke 19, there's Zacchaeus. He's up the mountain. He's not a believer. He's up the tree looking down. Oh, there's Jesus. I'm very inquisitive. And Jesus looked up and said, excuse me, get yourself down. I'm going to come home to your house. And not only that, I'm inviting myself for you for dinner. So I hope you can manage that. So they go. And what happened? He gave his life to Jesus. He made a decision for God that in that environment, when he was in the house, when he was around the table for a meal, he became a believer. Luke 10:38, this is Martha. Now, Martha was the queen of hospitality. So she's flapping around outside the house. Jesus comes walking into the village. She says, my gosh, she says, come in. You know, welcome. And probably a few others went in with him. And she would have washed his feet, given him a cool cloth to wipe his face and given him a drink of water and said, you start. Because they were all wanting to hear more from Jesus. And she said, you start. I've got the cucumber sandwiches to make yet outside. So she said, you get on with it. You start. So off they go. But what does Mary do? Mary was a bit more considered, discerning. And so what did she do? She was the quieter soul. She pulls the stool up at his feet and listens and loves him and learns from him. And Martha's still flapping around, getting hot and bothered out there over the sandwiches. And Jesus says, Martha, there's something better to do than that. Come and sit with Mary. She's got it. She's understood. So I feel connect groups can be simple. We don't have to be flapping around making it complicated and too hard and too overwhelming. They can be very, very simple. It is the heart of it where we can sit at Jesus' feet and learn from him. And it's in that intimate place, you know, Martha was struggling with it. Luke 24:13, Jesus joined the walking group. The walking group was going to Emmaus and they were walking along, chitter-chatting, and then they came to the village and where these guys in the walking group lived. And Jesus was going to keep going, but they coerced him. They said, oh, no, you must come and stay. Come. So they went into the house. They would have been exhausted, hot. They sat down and they were having a meal. And around that table, Jesus broke the bread and immediately their eyes were opened and they knew it was Jesus. And at that moment, it wasn't out walking. It wasn't when they were walking, it's when they came into the home and sat around the table. And the table can be in the park for all that matter. But, you know, it's easy in that setting where you're eyeballing each other. You're looking and caring and watching and discerning. And as soon as Jesus did that, they knew who he was. So you can see you can't box Jesus. He was involved in every sort. We don't have to be too rigid in what a connect group looks like. Jesus was in all sorts, but it was in that small setting that something, because even with the Mary and Martha thing, in this big setting, that would never have got addressed. You know, that would never, that thing that was happening wouldn't have ever been touched. But because they're in a small group, Jesus could speak into it and could gently, because it was in everyday life. So everything can't happen here. This is great, and we say hi, and then go on our way. It's I'm encouraging you into this more intimate place. The early church, what happened there? Acts 2:46. Daily they met together in the temple courts and in each other's homes, celebrating communion. They shared meals together with joyful hearts. So they had a ball. They were having a great time. And tender humility. To me, that is looking out for each other, being aware of what each other is up to. And they were continually filled with praises to God, enjoying the favour of all the people. And the Lord kept adding to their number. So in the connect groups, they grew. They multiplied out of these connect groups. That would be fabulous, wouldn't it? Wouldn't that be good? Yeah, I reckon it would be too. And so, you know, I know Hilda, she's got a group, and there's only two that come to our church. There's three that don't come to our church. That's great. We are kingdom builders. But there might be some that come to your group that aren't ready to come to church yet. And there's a journey to be done. But don't be shy. And there, I'm going to come to that. I'll keep going. Now, in Acts 5, the apostles had just been beaten. Oh, and they got all these open sores all over their backs. It was terrible. And they were forbidden to speak about Jesus. So they came into the home and their attitude was, nothing stops me. Nothing's going to stop them. They kept preaching every day in the temple courts and went from house to house preaching the gospel of Jesus God anointed them to do. Right. Now, I feel, I'm not saying when you're half dying, you've got to be there. What I'm saying is that these guys just didn't get put off. And I believe they would have come into that home and they would have had their wounds bathed and dressed. They would have been able to tell their stories and what had happened and how it had happened. And then everybody could have encouraged them and stood with them and held their hands and said, we are going to pray for you. Do you know what I mean? So sometimes we think, oh, gee, I don't feel good. I just don't feel good tonight. But you know what? Sometimes that's the very place we need to be, in that place where we can be supported, where we can be honest and upfront and vulnerable. Okay. What do we think made these churches so effective? So I'm going to give you a few pointers. Need to be committed to the intentionality to routinely and regularly turning up to a group, whatever we feel. Now, there's sometimes that we can't attend for reasons, and sometimes we genuinely aren't well or whatever. I'm just encouraging. It's an encouragement that when we are part of a connect group, it becomes like our little family. It is a journey and it can take time, but it can be a place where we know, do you know what, they're not going to laugh at me, they're not going to ignore me, they're going to actually put their arms around me. So I believe we need to have some intention about it, that we're going to commit to it. The next point, we acknowledge there is an architectural God design in this type of gathering. We are made for intimacy. Did you know that? Sometimes we think, oh, no, I'm just not that sort of person. Well, have a guess what? We've got Jesus' DNA. That's who we are. And Jesus, the Trinity, God the Father, Son and Holy Spirit, they are intimate in a small group all of the time. That's who they made us for it. We need it. Whether we know it or not, we need it. And I'm encouraging you that we are made for it. We are designed for it. Third point, that we can submit to a sense of organisational space. Like the Connect Groups is a space that's organised for you. It is a space that we can plan to be in, and it is a place that we can see the gospel worked out in us. Now, do you know what? I can be in here and I can say, oh gosh, Linda, I love you. And I walk out and do my life. But when we're in a connect group, do you know what? it's more than just that. And I might be thinking, what's that person saying that for? That seems ridiculous. Well, do you know what? I'm called to be understanding. I'm called to love that person. It does checks in our spirit, because we need spaces where we can have those checks done. Do you know what I mean? That we don't just isolate and then think that these checks, that we're all fine and all good, but we're not letting anybody in. We don't do life with people. We're just isolating. I think it's really important that we understand that we need the gospel tested and grown in us continually. We make a decision for Jesus at some stage in our life, but that is just one point. It is continually growing throughout our lives, and it's a really important thing. I can remember that we did some, David and myself did some healing, and but we, the people that were involved in the pain, I suppose, were interstate. So we took a trip interstate so that we could be in that environment to check how we were going. Did we love them? Could we forgive them, etc.? Do you know what I mean? So sometimes I feel connect groups are that environment that we can sit in and be in. And it might only happen every blue moon, but it's just those little tweaks, those little things that we can see and we can live out and we can do. We can live out what God says the gospel is. Right, now for in the organisational God model, it gives an opportunity to give permission to be known. This could be tricky for some. Do you know what? We do have to give permission for that, because we can be let people in or not. We can put a door up or we can. Now, I know this is tricky. I know it can be scary. I know you might have proved that it doesn't work and it's not worth it. But my huge encouragement to you is, can you give people permission to know you? If we stay in a place where we say, no, I can't, that's too risky, we build a wall around ourselves, and it's, it virtually gets to be impenetrable. And we do life like that. We draw back and we isolate. And instead of being able to be like this, We close off. And sometimes we can be like that for a long time. But my encouragement to you is, when we give God and each other permission to be known, it can transform our lives. If we say no, we actually aren't giving God permission either. It ends up that we just close right off. But we don't, sometimes we just don't even realise. I believe the Connect Group is a space that we can choose to be authentic. We can choose to be who we are. And I've had to learn this. You know, sometimes pastors set themselves up and think they can't be honest. They can't be real in front of people. We've got to have all these boundaries around, and it's too unsafe. David and myself, we feel it is, we love the relational church. And if we can't be relational, we can't think anybody else will be. And so I've had to learn to be able to be open about my world. And it helps. It helps. It's wonderful. It's good. It's helped me to be able to say, do you know, and it helps you to be able to say, oh, gee, everything's not all rosy, and have me up on a pedestal where I'm totally not meant to be. Do you know what I mean? So I believe, well, I'm encouraging it. This is all encouragement, to encourage you to give permission to yourself, that you will give permission to others to be known. Right, again, in the Connect Group space, we have the opportunity to see the body or the family at work. So here we see a little bit of it, but we don't see it all. But in a Connect Group, you can see all the gifts happening. You know, somebody might be pastoral and they're on their feet and they're that's fine, I understand, you know, blah, blah. Somebody's caring and looking out for, loving, laughing, listening, long-suffering, grace, forgiveness. We all carry things that are different to the next person, and that's great. We don't all want to be this arm and this hand, do we? We've got arms and hands and head. We're part of the body. So this is where a connect group is, where our gifts can be at work. And I believe most of the pastoring happens in our connect groups. We can't possibly do it all. And it's much better to be done by those people who we've let be known, you know us. I've just been sick. And, oh, it was wonderful. I got some meals from people, from girls who had been in my group last year. Meals and flowers and, oh, beautiful. It was wonderful. I mean, David's all right. He was muddling along. But it was just so encouraging. It was amazing. I remember I was in a group in our church in Macquarie in Newcastle, and as this group started, one of the girl's husband was diagnosed with pancreatic cancer. Now, that for 18 months, that group was what I would call a sacrificial group. It was a great group and we were very knitted together, but a lot of our time was ministering to this girl, listening to her, praying for her. Now, her husband did die, but after that, the change and the dynamics changed in that group. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? Sometimes there'll be a thing that'll come up and needs to be looked after, and it might be a bit long term, where there needs to be care and love and meals and encouragement or whatever. So different things happen in the group. So what am I saying? I'm saying that connect groups are fabulous. That there is power and purpose in a connect group. And it's not until you get in there that you start to feel the blessing and the benefit of it. And David and myself, we really want you to get to a place in a group where you feel like you belong. You feel like you're part of it. You feel accepted. You feel known. That you would be in a group where you change, you know, where you grow, where you expand, where you're able to talk about your dreams, you know. Things like that, where you can start to step out in some things because there's this group that is encouraging you, and that we find that we can be people who reproduce. And maybe once every 3 months, once a term, you might say as a group, do you know what, we're going to have a night where we're going to make a meal. We'll all bring stuff and we're going to invite a friend. And it might be a friend you know is not ready for church, but you know a friend is lonely and they need company and they need support. And it might be just a once-off or something you do once a term. There might be somebody comes along and they want to be part of that group because they're hungry for Jesus. So there might be a little change in the dynamics temporarily. But I believe we can grow through our connect groups as well. So just lastly, Hebrews 10:25. This is not the time to pull back or pull away and neglect meeting together, as some have formed a habit of doing. In fact, we should come together even more frequently, eager to encourage and urge each other onward as we anticipate that day dawning. And I probably will chat to you and see if you'd like to be part of a group.
Very good. Just before Laurie comes up, I just want to say that was a great word from Eve, and I feel in my heart just to share a principle that we are finding in our Christian walk often happens. So here we are as a church, right, where we are poised to go forward and we're poised to take new ground. We're poised to do new things, right? We're visioning some additional things that we haven't done before. And I've found in our personal life, and I think it's true for really church life, that when we take a step forward to go towards what we think God's asking us to do, and before we've actually followed through and the other foot has made that jump, have you ever been there where you've gone into a job change or possibly gone into a future shift? Maybe you've said we're going to move house, or maybe you've said I want to lose weight, or whatever it is that is a forward moving decision. There is often some resistance from this in the spiritual realm that happens to those things. So this is what I want to say. Today, look around. Don't be concerned about numbers and who's here and who's away. This is just normal. It's normal for holiday seasons, number one. And secondly, it's normal for that space that we are in as a church, where we are setting our eyes to the future and we're looking to go forward. And today we were worshiping. When I don't see you, let me read it, because I think this is on point. Do you remember that, that line in the song? Even when I don't see it, you're working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. Amen?
Yeah.
You never stop. You never stop working. Even when I don't see it, you're working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. You know, the enemy wants us to be discouraged. The enemy wants us to look around at what we can see and to look at what it is that is evident to us. But God is saying, let's look at what we can't see and let's look forward to what it is that he's doing. So I believe today that, just in our own world, just to share this, we've said, let's go forward, and then Eve got sick. And then we had, let's go forward, and then we've had an unexpected tax issue that's come up. And this is kind of normal for what goes on in the life of following Jesus. Has anybody ever had resistance in their life other than me? Come on, let's be honest with you. So this is where we're going as a church. I'm going to ask you to stand before I hand back to Laurie, and just to encourage you to take on board what Eve has shared about. Today, as we're sharing, we have two connect groups in the Hive. And as we sat down and just looked at what we think God's doing, we think there could be, as we go forward, we could end up with four or five or six. There's actually quite a lot of possibilities. So if you are in a group, that's great. If you are not yet in a group, then we'd just like you to pray about it and think about it and be open to that. So, Father, today we say thank you. God, we as it were, want to glory in our infirmities, glory in our weaknesses. God, glory in our inability, because we know that when we're weak, what does the Lord say? Then we are strong. And so, God, we just say thank you for everything that you've put in our hands as vision for this coming year. And, God, we say thank you that you are just in a wonderful, gracious way. You're leading us forward. And God, we want to dare to say thank you, God, for every inability or for everything that might look as if it doesn't necessarily have the substance to go forward. God, we don't look at that. God, we look at what it is that you're calling us to do. We thank you, Jesus. Your word says that in Christ we're strong, that you give us all things in Jesus to be strong together. We say thank you for that. And so, God, thank you for our church community. God, thank you for the vision to be a connected people. God, thank you for the vision to be a relational people. And God, we just give it all to you. God, give you the children's visions, God. Give you all those who are away today. God, give you what it is that you're needing in our community. And we bless you, Jesus, because even though we can't see it, you're working. And we say thank you, God, for the future months where we're going to look back at what you've done. And we're going to say, God, you're wonderful. God, you've come through for us. God, you've answered our prayers. God, you've moved in ways that we never even dreamt or imagined. And so we say, wonderful God, we love you, and we commit ourselves freshly to you in Jesus' mighty name. Thank you. Back to Laurie.